We believe in God the Father. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in the Holy Spirit. And
amen. So now let's dive into God's Word. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We've been talking about the Lord's Prayer. Right? When you pray, looking at Matthew chapter 6, if you have your Bible today, please turn to Matthew chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible, I encourage you to bring your Bible to church. And today, the day that we have so much technology around us, we've got the smartphones, we've got the dumb phones, iPads, Samsungs, all kind of things, right? Computers, you can find the Bible on any device. Whatever you choose, whatever media you choose, I prefer the good old pages. If you don't have a Bible, please see, raise your hand. Our ushers will bring you one. We've got Bibles. If you don't have one and want to take one home, you can take one of those home as well. If you know somebody that doesn't have a Bible, you want to give them one, take them a Bible. But if you have your Bibles, please open up to Matthew chapter 6. We're talking about the Lord's Prayer. Breaking it down line by line. What was Jesus teaching? See, Jesus taught his disciples how to pray because they asked him. They said, Jesus, how should we pray? We've watched you pray. We want to know how you pray. And he began to tell them how to pray. And as we know in Matthew chapter 6 and also in the book of Luke, we see the Lord's Prayer written out to us. And I want us to read that together today. We're going to read it out loud. Please read it so the person to your left and right can hear you. Let's say it. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. To bring you up to date real quickly, our Father, He is our Father, not a God in a distant place, but a Father who loves us. We have been adopted as sons and daughters into the family through Jesus Christ. And as a family, we have respect and reverence for our parents as kids, and we expect that as parents as well, because the Bible tells us to honor our father and our mother. So when we see our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, He is holy, He is to be reverent, but He's still your Father, who is willing to give whatever He has to His children. We saw that your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What Jesus is teaching here, he's saying, look, he says, there's a will that I have for your life. And sometimes it may not make sense to you, but I want you to pray your will be done so that the kingdom of heaven can continually be advanced here upon this earth. Then it says this, give us this day our daily bread. And we looked at the story of Exodus and Moses when manna had came down into the nation of Israel every single day. And they were told by God through Moses not to take more than you can use today, but take only what you use today. Jesus is teaching here in this part. He's saying, you need to trust me every single day that I'm going to meet your needs. And when you have that kind of trust in me and you pray with persistence, as we looked in the parables that we saw a couple of months ago, as we looked at the parable of the persistence of prayer, he says, I will give you today your daily bread, but I'll also meet every need that you have. Why? Because he wants us to trust in him, not the world. Every one of us have been faced with difficult times in our world, especially financially. God says, don't put your trust in the world. Put your trust in me, because the kingdom of heaven is much greater than anything the world can offer. And then it comes to this line, and forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. Church, this is a turning point in this prayer. And as I read that and began to look at that, the question came to me as he says, forgive us our debts. The question is, what are our debts? What debts do you and I have that we're asking forgiveness for? I don't believe that that's the key to this line of the scripture, but the question needs to be asked. What are our debts? Well, we know one debt that we have that only one, I remember the song. How many of you this old song? He paid a debt he did not owe. I owe a debt I cannot pay. So we know, church, that we as Christians, we have a debt that needs to be paid. Jesus Christ came, excuse me, to pay that debt. And he did that by sacrificing himself upon that cross. But as I looked at that and I began to study the words and debts, a debt is something that we owe. So we know we all owe something. Other translations of God's word says the word trespasses, sins, failures, or shortcomings. The different translations use the word, but the idea is the same thing. The idea is that there is a debt that you and I owe. Then how about this? Knowing that we owe a debt, there usually comes a judgment for the payment of the debt, right? Think about it. I mentioned a tax bill. I got an IRS tax bill. I probably shouldn't say this on tape, but the IRS is coming to get me. I had no idea I owed money, but I did. I got a bill in the mail. I owe a debt to the IRS, and there's pretty much no way to get out of it, right? It's not a lot, but when you owe something, you have to pay. So we're going to pay this debt? Absolutely. That's what we're supposed to do. But here's what would be awesome is if I had the opportunity to go and say, you know what, Mr. IRS representative, I would love to not have to pay this debt. But judgment says that I'm going to have to pay that debt. But how great would it be to go before them and them have grace? How many would love to have grace for the debt that you owe? Right? I would. I expected everybody to say amen. Even those of you who may not, young enough, don't have a job yet, one day you're going to have a job and you're going to incur debts. So it's like Jesus saying this, is when you stand before the Father, you know that there's a debt that we owe. How do we want the Father to respond to us? Well, we want to stand there and say, Lord, I know that I need to be forgiven for this particular debt. God, have grace upon me to forgive a debt that I know I can't pay. Have grace and not judgment. So Jesus is trying to share this idea as he's beginning to lay this prayer out. When he gets to this line, I believe this is really a turning point in the scripture, because I think Jesus was pointing us to a principle. He's pointing us to a place that says we must choose the medicine that we want by the medicine that we're willing to give. Because in the scriptures it says, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. See, Jesus is challenging us to give away something that we want back. That's how these work together. And the reason I believe that this particular line in the scripture, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, is a turning point, because Jesus goes back and he reemphasizes what he's trying to say right here. Right? So if you read this whole chapter, we've got the Sermon on the Mount. He teaches them how to pray. And what is the next thing? When he finally gets done, when he finishes telling them how to pray, what's the first thing that he says? He says this in verse number 14. He says, for if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Now, that's a very interesting scripture. To me, that's an absolute. To me, that is an absolute truth. Because it says, God, if we forgive others who have trespassed against us, it says then the Father is going to forgive us. But if we don't, the word but if we don't, what's going to happen? This is Jesus Christ speaking. He says, but if you don't forgive others their trespasses, neither will the Father forgive you. So we all know that we have a debt that needs to be paid. And we do want to go before the Father and say, Lord, have grace and have mercy on me for this particular debt, because I know that I cannot pay this debt. And then he reemphasizes it with this. This is an absolute. And an absolute means that this doesn't change. And this is very interesting. Because as you read God's word, right, there are some times that Jesus begins to speak and tell us things that don't change. Of course, we know his words never change. But he's telling us, church, that if we want forgiveness of what we've done, we've got to forgive others. And that's something that's very difficult for many of us to do. Matthew chapter 18, because the idea that Jesus is talking about, of course, he uses the word forgive. The idea is forgiveness. So instead of me taking today and preaching on those particular words, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, let's look at the word forgiveness. Because I think forgiveness is something that's very difficult for us to grab a hold of. I know it's tough for me. Because sometimes I would rather have vindication within a situation than forgiveness. But Jesus is telling us right here, and he reemphasizes it in these verses here. He says, if you're not willing to ask someone else to forgive you, or you forgive them, then the Father is not going to forgive you. This was the turning point in this prayer. Up to this point, you know, we've prayed how great God is. that His will be done in our life. He meet our needs. And all of a sudden He puts in there that we've got to forgive others. We see this in Matthew chapter 18. That Jesus begins to tell a story of forgiveness. We know that Matthew 18, that is quoted and used many times, and when you have aught against your brother, and what are you supposed to do if there's something that you have against someone else, what's the process? We know that Matthew chapter 18 begins to lay that out and how you're supposed to do that. Please read that. That's your assignment this week, to read that on your own. But when you look at verse 21, after Jesus, it begins to explain the sins of a brother and what you're supposed to do if someone sins against you. How you're supposed to go to them. He goes down here and he makes this statement. And he begins this. He says, "Then Peter came up to him and said, 'Lord, how often will my brother sin against me?'" So in other words, he's saying, how often is someone going to sin against me? In other words, how often am I going to have to walk through these steps, God, you've just given me about forgiveness? He says, is it supposed to be seven times? Knowing that the number seven is very significant. It's like God's number. It's the number of perfection. I'm not a numerologist. I can't tell you all the ideas behind the number seven, but he says seven times. And this is what Jesus goes and he says. He says this. He says, "I do not say to you seven times, but 77 times." 70 times seven. That means this. I looked that up in the Greek. That means as many times as necessary, forgiveness should be given. Then he says this. He says, this story he begins to tell about this king. I'm not going to read. I want to read just the first part. But as I read this, it's very interesting. As we look at it, it says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants." Let me just sort of tell you what's happening here. He tells this story. There was a king, a judge, a king. And he had a great kingdom. And he began to look it through his kingdom. And he noticed that there was someone, one of his servants, that owed him 10,000 talents. And this person who owed him 10,000 talents came before the king and said, "Lord, king," he says, "have mercy on me." It says he fell down on his knees and begged for mercy. It says the king was moved with compassion and forgave him his debt. Forgave him of all his debt and wiped it clean. Because the custom was, if you have a debt, you cannot pay it, then I will put you in jail until your family pays the debt. Now let me tell you what that debt was. It was 10,000 talents that Jesus says. Do you know what that's the equivalent to? One talent is the equivalent of that age and that time of 20 years of labor. Let's do the math for a second. So if one talent was 20 years of labor, that means that 10,000 talents is equivalent to 200,000 years of labor. The money that you would make from your work. If you today made the average of $60,000 a year, this is what you would owe this king. $12 billion. Right? That's the entire budget for the Department of Interior for our country. Is $10 billion. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having to go before the IRS and tell them you owe $12 billion? And they're going to say, "Well, I'm going to put you in jail until you pay that debt off." Who's going to pay $12 billion? So what Jesus is saying here, he said, look, there's a debt that you would never be able to pay. But I'm willing to forgive that. And that's what this king did. Now, this is what that servant did. Just been completely forgiven of his debt. He goes back out into the town, the countryside, and he finds a servant that works for him. And this servant didn't owe 10,000. It says that he owed 100 denarii. That's the equivalent of between $8,000 and $10,000. And he went to that servant and says, "Pay now. Pay me the $8,000 you owe me. And if you don't pay me the $8,000 you owe me right now, I'm going to throw you in jail." He said, "Well, have mercy on me." He says, "I don't have this to pay. Please have mercy on me." He got down on his knees and begged for mercy. And the servant says, "Nope. You owe me the money. You're going to pay me the money. You're going to jail. Put him in jail." Well, those around him heard what was going on. They went back and told the king what this servant had done because they know he had just been forgiven of a $12 billion debt. The king was not happy. He brought him back into the court before him and says, "How can you go and not forgive this debt when you just had a debt that you know you could never pay be forgiven?" And he throws him in prison. So Jesus is telling this story this way. He says, when someone comes against you, sins against you, it needs to be as if a debt that could never be paid. But the grace and the mercy that's given for that debt from Jesus Christ is what you need to be given. It's the idea of forgiveness. So as I begin to read this and study this more and looking at how Jesus talks about this in his parables, I found that there were two critical steps to forgiveness. And here's the first one. The first step to forgiveness is this. Lord, please forgive me. Number one. Lord, forgive me. I think sometimes, I'm speaking for myself, church, I think sometimes that the people stand around and begin to compare their life to others. They're waiting for justice instead of asking for forgiveness. This is what I've walked through in my life. I'm just telling life experiences. Because there's people who have sinned against me. I use that terminology, people who have hurt. And I know you've had people in your life who've hurt you. And this is the turning point in prayer. Because Jesus is asking us, he's telling us this truth. It's about repentance. He says you will never forgive others if we're not repentant of our own sins. In other words, as Jesus said in that parable, he says you're never going to be able to forgive others until you're aware of the enormity of your own sin. You know, I don't think that, you know, we think that we owe so much in our life because we look at ourselves and compare them to someone else and say this sort of, hey, you know, my sin is not as bad as that one, or maybe I didn't do something as bad as this person did over there, and we get into this habit of comparing ourselves to others. There's a word for that. It's called self-righteous. Right? You remember the parable that we talked about in Luke chapter 18? There was a parable where Jesus talked about self-righteous. He said that there was a Pharisee and a tax collector. So in other words, there was somebody who was supposed to be righteous and someone who was labeled as a sinner. The Pharisee was supposed to be the one who stood for the law and for the righteousness and teaching of the law. That was God's word. And a tax collector was looked at as one of the lowest, the sinners. And so they went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee stood in the middle of the temple and began to proclaim all the good things he did and who he wasn't. I'm glad that I'm not like the tax collector who is the sinner. But yet the tax collector in his prayer to God, he says, Lord, I am a sinner. Forgive me of my sins. And Jesus used that parable to say who we are. And he's talking about self-righteousness. And I think someone, you know, in Luke 18, you know, he starts that whole thing off by saying to those who are confident in their own righteousness and look down on others with contempt. And I think sometimes we do that. You're very quiet today. You're looking at me and saying, yeah, that's pretty hard, Pastor Shannon. You're telling me that, hey, sometimes I am speaking for myself first. Because forgiveness is a hard thing. And until we grab a hold of the idea of forgiveness in our life, we're not going to be able to move on and fulfill what God has called us to do, because it begins to harbor our hearts and turns into bitterness. It's kind of like this. If we were that Pharisee that was standing there, maybe, hey, I'm a better Christian than this person that done something against me. Or, hey, I go to church every Sunday. They don't go to church every Sunday. I read my Bible every day. I know they don't read their Bible every day. You can say amen or oh me. Either one will work. Hey, I'm part of Life Church. This person's not. Oh me. Hey, I'm part of a life group. That person's not part of a life group. And they said something to me that hurt my feelings. And they don't even go to a life group. Oh me. Sometimes we may say this, that our righteousness that will match up against anybody else's. Maybe my sins are small and their sins are large. Or maybe we say, hey, I'm not real sure. Maybe this is the attitude we have. I'm not real sure. I know my sins, you know, they're not bad sins. They're little sins. And maybe I won't make it into heaven, but maybe I'll go to the minimum security part of hell. Maybe I'll do that, right? There's no minimum security of hell. It's probably just as hot as the death row. Maybe because of my good works, I'll be able to make it to heaven. If you want to be a forgiving person, Jesus Christ is telling us that we must first go back to the idea of being contrite and repentant in our own hearts before God and saying, Lord, forgive me. I remember the story where Jesus is saying, hey, be careful before you judge someone else. Look at the beam that is in your eye before you begin to point out the speck that is in someone else's eyes. I think the second truth about forgiveness is we have to say, Lord, help me to forgive. I think there's a lot of misunderstandings about forgiveness. I think this is where we find some of our own beliefs and ideas. I know for myself, because I lived this way for a long time. Forgiveness is not getting even or vindication for someone. That is not forgiveness. I can tell you from experience that there within the past couple of years within our lives in the Kunoy family, we went through a situation that was difficult. Where we felt like what was coming in against us that we did not cause to happen. And I know all the feelings that begin to come up on the inside. And I'm going to tell you, church, in transparency, when I would go to bed at night, I wasn't praying, Lord, forgive me of how I'm feeling. My prayers were, Lord, deal with that person. Go ahead, God. If you want me to help you, Lord, I'll tell you what you need to do. Lord, I'll tell you how it should be done. See, I wasn't looking for forgiveness for myself and how I saw the situation. I was looking for vindication for what was happening to me. I allowed my hurts and my sorrows. Here's another thing. Forgiveness is not pretending that everything is okay and burying the hurt. I think sometimes when we go through situations and someone begins to hurt us, all we want to do is say, well, I don't want to deal with it. It's covered under the blood. Covered in the blood of Jesus Christ. Covered up. Covered. Covered. I've heard that so many times. It's covered up in the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay. Really what we're doing is we're pulling up the rug and we're sweeping it all underneath the rug and then we're trampling on the rug. That's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is not saying, okay, I'm just not going to deal with it. Maybe it'll go away. It's okay to not be okay sometimes. You can't just bury your hurt and call it forgiveness. That's denial. Here's another thing I think we label as forgiveness is it's also not letting the offender off the hook. I'm hurt. You're hurt. So let's just go our separate ways. Listen, there are consequences to what we go through. There are consequences to our actions. Forgiveness, church, is releasing the offended party from your judgment and giving them to God so that you are in a, so you're not in a consistent cycle of anger and bitterness. And then what happens is you begin the process of healing. The pastor, you're telling me that when Jesus says, Lord, forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors, he's talking about all that stuff? Yes. Because I believe that all of us at some point have held on to some unforgiveness in our hearts towards someone else. Jesus is telling us, you cannot do that. Letting your heart go free from judgment that you've held against the person is when you begin to go through a healing process. See, Jesus' desire as he's beginning to preach this, his desire is not for you to just go and wallow in your sadness and your sorrows. His desire is for you to understand what forgiveness is because he lived it. He died upon the cross. He hung upon that cross. And as they were hanging him on that cross, he told this. He said, Lord, forgive them because they don't even know what they're doing. And he took all of our sins upon himself. And he took them to the grave and he left them there. And Jesus Christ was resurrected from the grave. And now he stands at the right hand of the Father. And now he's telling them this. He says, now go back. His words are written. Forgive your debts as you have also forgiven your debtors. You've got to first forgive, ask God to forgive you of how you're feeling in a situation. Whether you're right or whether you're wrong, it doesn't matter. And that is a hard thing to get. Church, your pastor had a hard time with that. I had a difficult time with that because as I walk through life and hurts have come my way, I've always wanted to see vindication done. And God says this, no, that is not your place. Your place is to forgive. Yes, there's going to be hurts. Yes, you're going to have to face that person. You're going to have to sit down with that person that you have unforgiveness against. You're going to have a conversation and it's going to be tough. Back in Matthew 18, he tells exactly how to do it. He lays it out there. When your brother sins against you, this is the process you're supposed to go through. He did not say turn and run. He didn't say just write him a sweet letter. He said you go to them face to face. But before you do that, you've got to pray in your heart, Lord, forgive me of how I'm feeling right now. Forgive me of my sins. Forgive me. Paul said it this way. In the last book he wrote when he was in that prison, writing that letter out, he says this. He says, Paul, chief of all sinners, unworthy to be called an apostle, because he realized who he was in Jesus Christ. That without Jesus, without the presence of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost in his life, that he could not do what God had called him to do. He knew who he was. Let me tell you how this works. If you want a good example, let me tell you a story. There's someone in this Bible right here who is the perfect example of what Jesus was saying when he says, forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. This man knew what it was like to live in forgiveness. He was King David. Let me tell you about King David. And after I tell you this, God called him a man after his own heart. You see, King David's son, Absalom, rebelled against his father. And this is what he did. He stole his kingdom, raised up an army against his father. Now, this is a little graphic. Bear with me. It said he went and slept with the concubines that David had, and then tried to kill his father. Tried to kill him. So here's this young man who rises up against his father and does every defile thing he can against him. To destroy him, to kill him, to destroy his name. Can you think of that happening to you today? And word gets back to David. They say, David, your son Absalom has been killed. This is how David responded. It says he began to weep and cry because his son had passed away. After all those bad things, it said he wept and cried and forgave him. Saul came against David, tried to kill him, threw spears at him, had the army out to get him. And David had many opportunities to strike Saul down. But he said, I will not touch the anointed of God. And when he got news that Saul and Jonathan had passed away. They had died and killed in battle. The Bible says that David fell down on his knees to begin to weep and to pray to God and weep and say, I'm sorry. There was sorrow in his heart that he had lost someone who tried to kill him. Why was David so willing to forgive those who would try to kill him and destroy everything he knew? Because this is what happened to David. Do you remember the story? See, David, he's at home when he should have been out in the battle, on the battlefield, and he sees Bathsheba. And we know what happens there, right? He calls her in. This is with his wife. He has a relationship with her, has her husband killed and murdered. And then Nathan the prophet comes to him and says, David, I have a story I want to tell you. He said, David, there's someone in the kingdom who has a lot of sheep. He's very wealthy. Very, very wealthy. And across the street over here is another gentleman who lives over here, the family. They've got one little sheep. Matter of fact, they love this little sheep. They raised it from a little lamb, and they bring it in the house. It sleeps in their bed with them at night. They feed it from the table. I mean, it is like part of the family. Some of y'all know what I'm talking about. Some of y'all have pets that are just that same way, right? I used to have a bird. He used to sit at the table and eat with us, right? You loved him. It was a part of the family. So one day, this other family, this gentleman who had thousands of sheep, had a friend coming over, and he wanted to prepare a meal. But instead of him taking and killing one of his own sheep to provide the meal, he goes to his neighbor and he steals their little sheep. And he kills their own one little sheep who was part of the family to provide this meal. David, what do you think about that? It said David became angry. He said, you bring that man before me. He said, so that his punishment can come today. Nathan says, David, you're that man. What did David do? At that moment, David fell down upon his face. He began to weep and to cry. And he asked God, he said, God, forgive me. That was the turning point in David's life. David's life up to that point and David's life after that point, he was different. He was very quick and very easily able to forgive someone who came against him. Why? Because he found himself in that same situation, and when confronted by the Holy Spirit, when confronted by the prophet, he knew what to do. He fell down on his face and he said, "Lord, forgive me." And when he did that, he was able to go and to help others and forgive those who came against him. This is what happened when David, Jonathan, you can come. This is what happened when David repented of that sin. He wrote this psalm. This is Psalm 51. And I know that many of you probably know this one. It says this. This was his prayer. This was his psalm to God after this had happened. Matter of fact, it's listed in my Bible. It's a psalm of David when Nathan the prophet went after him. And he repented. He says this. He says, "Lord, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgression. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold the delight in truth and the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart." Then he goes over and says this part, and this is the part I think that we know very well. He says this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit." As we pray, forgiveness needs to be at the core before we ask for anything. This is what Jesus is telling us to do. And I want to close with this. I want you to know that every one of us are going to go through situations in life where someone is going to offend us. As his word says, someone's going to sin against us. And what Jesus is saying right now, he's saying, even when you pray in your daily prayer to the Father, make sure that in there you say, "Lord, forgive me. Let your forgiveness rest upon me, because the very thing that I'm asking for is the thing that you are requiring me to give, is forgiveness for someone else." That's what Jesus is teaching us to pray. Forgiveness has to be a part of our life. And I know that there are times it's going to be difficult to do, because I've walked that path. So be willing to give away the very thing that you know you need. Can I pray for you this morning? Lord, I thank you for your word and telling us how we need to live our life. And I know, Lord, you're telling me and you're telling us today that first, Lord, we need to take care of our own heart. Lord, we need to be honest with our heart. We need to say to you, "Oh God, hallowed be your name. But Lord, come and forgive my heart. And Lord, the way that you have forgiven me, Lord, now help me to forgive others." Lord, we thank you that you forgave us. Because, Lord, those debts that we owe is just like you told in those parables, Lord. We can never, ever pay back the debt that we owe. But Jesus Christ, you came and you paid it for us. And all we have to do is ask you to forgive us. Would you stand with me as we come to a close now? And what I'm going to ask you to do, I know we're just a little over time today, but I think we need to take this next step. I want you to think of someone right now in your mind. And before you pray for them, I want you to ask God, to forgive you. Ask the Lord to come and forgive you of the many debts and sins that you have in your life. Say, Lord, come, create in me a clean heart. Renew your spirit within me. Lord, it's your kindness that draws us to a place of repentance. Lord, I pray for forgiveness. Let me be a man after your own heart. And I want you to think of someone else that you need to forgive. And say, Lord, I pray you help me to forgive that person. Because I know that I was unworthy, but Lord, you gave your life for me. And I pray, Lord, that help me to forgive them. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. We thank you for your word. Lord, it's a tough word today. Lord, I know it's something that we struggle with, but Lord, we need to ask you to forgive us so that we can in turn, Lord, be able to forgive others when they come against us. I pray, Lord, this is part of our daily prayer, that as we pray, we look at the framework of how you talk to disciples, when we get to that part that says, forgive us our debts, Lord, we're willing to fall upon our knees and say, Lord, forgive me for my sins and my trespasses and my shortcomings, Lord, my debts that I could never pay. Forgive me. And I'll be, and Lord, I know that through that, Father, I can forgive others. We just bless you today, Father. And we pray that in Jesus' name. Let's say together, amen. Amen. Church, before you dismiss, I want you to know I love you. Please go out there and love someone else. Those boxes that need to be delivered, find the one that you can deliver today and take it to them. If you need prayer, please come. We'll pray for you this morning. If not, God bless you. Have a wonderful week, and we'll see you next week.